Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
At times, we all face situations that appear to be hopeless, but my friend, when viewed through the lens of God's Word and your relationship with Christ, there is always hope. Hope is alive. That's our topic next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell. Stay with us. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means to every Christian that hope is truly alive. Life sometimes has its way of taking a bend in the road or finding its way off script, and we find ourselves in situations that appear to be hopeless and helpless. But my friend, if you know Jesus Christ, and if you know the truth of His Word, you are never in a hopeless situation. Hope is always still alive. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This daily radio program features the teaching and the preaching of Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. We're excited about this series, Hope is Alive, because it will encourage your heart in a very special way. Today's message is entitled Kingdom Hope. Our text is Matthew chapter 4. Here's Paul Chappell.
And this was the process during this early Davidic kingdom, during the days of Solomon and the building of the temple, when men and women would come, they would bring the innocent animal, the animal's blood would be shed and offered there on the brazen altar. And this was God's plan. It was the shedding of the blood for the remission of sin. But thank God, when John the Baptist was preaching there on the Jordan River banks, one day he saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." No longer would the blood of goats and lambs be offered and sacrificed, for now the one that all of these had pictured had come, and his name was Jesus Christ. And the cross replaced all of that sacrificial system, and it is through the cross of Jesus Christ that our sins have been forgiven. John chapter 3 and verse 14 speaks of it. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, admission into the kingdom must come through Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for our sin. "And whosoever believeth on him will not perish, but have everlasting life." During World War II, there was a paratrooper by the name of David Webster. He was in the 101st Airborne Unit, and he wrote to his mother a letter that speaks highly of the character of our veterans and those who gave great sacrifice to save our freedom and, in many cases, our nation. He wrote, "Dear Mother, stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." Think of that. "Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." And when I was given a copy of that letter written to that mother, I thought, how true indeed. Those things that are precious are saved only by sacrifice. And we celebrate the sacrifice of our veterans and those that have given us our freedom. But we also celebrate the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself on the old rugged cross that we might be a part of his eternal kingdom. And when Jesus was there on that cross, he shed his blood for the remission of sins. Now let me remind you this morning, the blood that was shed was the pure blood of Almighty God. It was God shedding his blood, for Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And the bloodline came into Jesus Christ, not from an earthly father, but it came from the Holy Ghost. And therefore, when the blood was shed, it was not the blood of just another man. It was the blood of God shed for you and for me. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, it says, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. This is speaking to the pastors at Ephesus. But notice, if you would, the last part of this verse. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his, what do the last few words say? Own blood, you see. The church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. My friend, it was a great price that was paid for my salvation and your salvation. It was his own blood. It was a pure gift. It was a wonderful and miraculous payment. But notice, the blood is the payment for sin. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, and without the shedding of blood is no remission for our sin. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, admission to the kingdom is free, but it is not cheap, for there was a great price paid. And the price that was paid was the sacrifice on Calvary by the Lord Jesus Christ. Oswald Chambers said, all heaven is interested in the cross of Christ, all hell terribly afraid of it, while men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning. My friend, today in heaven, there's great rejoicing over the work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, how we thank God for it. And the demons of hell tremble at the thought of the cross of Jesus Christ. But may we never ignore the meaning of it. For there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for our freedom and for his resurrection, which guarantees our justification through his power and by his word. Well, the announcement of the kingdom was made way back to David. And he said, David, your kingdom is going to be an eternal kingdom. And someone says, but how? And then we read in the New Testament, of the house and lineage of David, there comes this one whose name is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that he will be the one who rules all nations. He will be the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. He will be the one who establishes this heavenly kingdom. And the admission to the kingdom will come by way of the cross of Jesus Christ. Notice, though, not only the announcement of the kingdom and the admission to the kingdom, but notice, thirdly, if you would, the advancement of this kingdom. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. I am thankful for America, and I'm for the advancement of our country in every way. I'm embarrassed that we owe so much money to China. It's frustrating to me at times, and it's frustrating to see some of the problems that we have. I'm for America staying on the cutting edge in our defense industry and staying strong. And I agree with President Ronald Reagan that it is through our strength that we can have a better opportunity to bring peace to the world. I'm for the advancement of our country economically and militarily and in every single way. But I've given my whole entire life not merely to the advancement of our country, but to the advancement of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this church is all about. Did you know that? Did you know we have missionaries today in the Philippines and in Russia, and missionaries in El Salvador and Honduras, and missionaries in England, and missionaries in Turkey, and missionaries all around the world? Did you know that our missionaries are not preaching American patriotism this morning? That's not why we sent them over there. Now, they're patriotic. They love America. Some of them are watching us this morning on live streaming. They miss America. But we did not send these 180 missionaries to the uttermost parts of the earth to preach American patriotism. We sent them there to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may we recognize it today that our call is a call to advance the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me be very clear. No place in the New Testament does it ever imply that the church will bring in this kingdom. It's not our job to bring in the kingdom. We are not amillennial in our theology. We're premillennial. We believe that Jesus Christ himself will bring in that kingdom. We're a part of the kingdom in the sense of our salvation and the new birth. But Jesus himself will come and establish that kingdom at the time of his second coming. Now, how can we advance, though? How can we enlarge, if you will, the population? How can we be a part of God's plan of building the kingdom? Let me share two thoughts with you. First, we can do that by being an evangelistic people. God has given us the good news. You say, well, we don't know who's going to get saved and who's not going to get saved. I agree with you on that one. I like what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, I don't know who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved, so I'll just tell everybody and I'll leave the rest up to God. That sounds like a good plan to me. I'm not the soul winner. The Holy Spirit's the soul winner, but I'm to be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are many in our society who would like us to keep our message right here in the four walls of this church. They don't mind if you have a cross, a Bible, or if you sing a hymn. Just don't go to a public school and tell somebody. Just don't go to a public shopping mall and tell somebody. Just don't get too much television broadcasting it. Just try to keep it all to yourself. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia said recently, church and state would not be such a difficult subject if religion were, as the court apparently thinks it to be, some purely personal avocation that can be indulged entirely in secret. Increasingly, the courts are saying, you can express views about God, just don't do it outside the walls of the church. Well, I've got news for you, folks. The whole Christian life is intended to be taken outside the walls of the church. We're here to be edified. We're here to be taught and encouraged. But then we're to go outside the walls of the church. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see, God's will is that we would witness for Christ and that we would witness of his coming kingdom and that we would tell folks that Jesus Christ is coming again and he will establish literally the kingdom that was promised to David. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, may I say to you, friends, that Jesus Christ is building his kingdom today, and we know that he's the author and finisher of our faith. We thank God for that. But he has called on the church to be the church and to be a witnessing church and to share the gospel message throughout the known world. And so by an evangelistic people, his work is done. But notice, secondly, by an expectant people. God wants us to be expecting his coming kingdom. We are to be looking for our King. Now, I want to tell you, folks, it's sometimes silly to see how people get enamored with earthly leaders. Let's stay enamored with Jesus Christ. You want to put some kind of a bumper sticker out? Put a cross, put a John 3:16. You want to get excited about a kingdom? Get excited about God's kingdom. And let's remember to be expecting the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says in Titus 2 and verse number 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We are to be expecting the coming of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are anxious to see the Lord Jesus face to face like I am? What a great day that'll be. And we're to live with that thought in mind. My King is coming. The King is still coming. David Livingston was the great pioneer missionary to Africa. What a tremendous, tremendous missionary he was. He's buried in Westminster Abbey, but his heart is buried in Africa, where he served as a missionary, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. David Livingstone said, and I quote, "I place no value on anything I have or may possess, except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interest of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept. Only as by giving or keeping it, I shall most promote the glory of him to whom I owe all my hopes in time or eternity." In other words, he said, if I can give something away and that will help the kingdom, I'm going to give it away. If I can keep something and use it to advance the kingdom of God, then I'll keep it and use it. But whatever I have is at his disposal so that the kingdom of God will march on, so that souls will be saved, so that God's work will be done. What a great way to live. He was living with kingdom thought in mind. He was living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, looking for our King. But I think, secondly, we ought to be loving the eternal. You know, while we're looking for the King of Kings, we ought to be looking also at the eternal things. I thank God for the eternal perspective of this Lancaster Baptist Church. We're doing what we're doing because we recognize that there's a lot coming in eternity, and we want to be preparing people for heaven, and we want to be involved in the work called this kingdom work. I think of the wedding yesterday in the North Auditorium there, and how one of our deacon sons, Edwin Aguirre, was married yesterday there, and how he and his wife are working in a ministry, and their dream is to go to the mission field and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Grew up here in this church and school, but now going out to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and having a heart for the eternal. And what a blessing to see young people with an eternal perspective in their mind. You know, 1 Thessalonians 2:12 says that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now, here's the idea. If we indeed are kingdoms, if we are citizens of his kingdom, and if we indeed recognize our citizenship is not of this world, but it is a heavenly citizenship, then how many of you believe that ought to affect the way we live our everyday lives? If he is our king, and if we're going to go around claiming to be Christians, and I hope you do, and I hope you're not ashamed of Christ, but with that comes that great responsibility to live a distinctively Christian life, to be involved in kingdom living, that is, living that is of the Spirit, that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote of it in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. He said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." You see, God says, "I want my kingdom to be on your heart and mind. I want you to tell people how to get into the kingdom. I want people to see that your life is different because you're a part of the kingdom. I want you to be a good ambassador for my kingdom." I remember years ago living in Korea, and I was standing at a taxi stand, and there was a fella there. He was an American, and he was getting out of a taxi, and he was yelling and screaming at that taxi driver, and he shut the door of the taxi and kicked the door of the taxi. And I don't know what it was all about, but all I knew is I was next in line. And when I put my hand to get in, that taxi driver looked at me. He said, "No, no Americans, no Americans, no Americans." You know, that fella had not made a good impression for our kingdom, if you will, for our country. May it never be said that someone would not receive Christ as Savior because of the testimony of those of us at Lancaster Baptist Church. May our testimony cause people to see Christ and desire Christ and to be a part of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Washington, D.C. stands the National Cemetery, and therein you'll find the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Some of you have been there. On the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier are inscribed the following words: "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." Here rests in honor glory an American soldier known but to God. You know, when I think about serving the Lord and being a part of his kingdom work, there are many people involved in kingdom work, faithful Christians, and their exploits and their witness And their sacrifice, in many cases, is known but to God. They've never been recognized by a denomination. They've never even been recognized, perhaps, in their own church. But I want to tell you something. Every deed done for the Lord, every deed done to advance the kingdom of God, is recognized by Him, and it is known to God. And may we be a part of advancing the kingdom work of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we leave this place today thanking God that we have kingdom hope, and that kingdoms of this world may rise and fall, but that when our hope is in Jesus Christ, then we have eternal hope. And as we hear the announcement of the kingdom, may we realize that's the kingdom that we are a part of through birth in Jesus Christ. And may we this morning stop and think about this fact. May we consider this question. Are you a part of the kingdom of God? Have you had a time in your life when you were born again? Do you have that spiritual birthday? Can you say, I have been saved? I am saved. Can you understand what Jesus said? That which is born again will enter into the kingdom of God. Have you ever been born again? Are you a part of the kingdom of God? And if not, how I would urge you today to come at the end of this service and let one of us show you from the Bible how you can receive Christ as your Savior and enter into the kingdom of God. And then I ask you this, if you are a part of the kingdom of God, what are you doing to advance that kingdom? Are you living evangelistically? Are you a part of sharing the gospel message? We have gospel tracts in the foyer, and we have Bible-prepared messages to equip. But are we taking the message out evangelistically? Are we living expectantly, looking for our King to come? Are we expecting Jesus Christ to come again? Because when we live that way, it affects our decisions, and it causes us to live with holiness and righteousness. No one wants to be off in sin when Jesus comes back. Amen. You don't want to be ticked off at your wife when Jesus comes back. You don't want to be off in some bar when Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back, I hope you're like me. You want to be found faithful when Jesus comes back. Living expectantly, Lord, I'm ready for you to come. And when I think about your coming, it causes me to sharpen up a little bit. It causes me to live a little differently because, Lord, I'm looking forward to that day when you come again. Folks, we may sometimes feel like everything around us is changing, but one thing will never change, and that is this: His kingdom will come. His will be done. And you can take that to your bank. You can count on that. Jesus Christ is coming again. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray this morning. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And Lord, we pray that through this church, your will would be done. That we as your children would continue to live evangelistically and expectantly with your kingdom in our hearts and minds. And Lord, when you come to literally establish that rule and reign, we look forward to seeing all of the fulfillment of your prophecies.
You have been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily radio program that features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College. If you've enjoyed today's message, if you'd like to hear recent programs, or if you would like to hear this series in its entirety, we want to invite you to visit dailyintheword.org. At dailyintheword.org, you'll find a lot more information about this program and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. You can subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and take this program with you every day on your computer or iPod and listen to at your convenience. I want to encourage you to refer a friend to dailyintheword.org and to encourage a friend to listen to the Daily in the Word podcast. If you're being blessed by this program, those you know will probably be blessed by it as well. Also at dailyintheword.org, you'll find a complimentary daily devotional from Dr. Chappell. You'll find a tab that you can click on to support and invest in the ministry of Daily in the Word, and you'll find a link to our bookstore online at strivingtogether.com. We're very excited about Dr. Chappell's most recent book that is now available. It's entitled In Desert Places, Discovering What Happens When Unlikely People in Unlikely Places Encounter the Presence of God. This is a beautiful hardback book, 13 chapters that take you on a wonderful narrative journey, not only of what God did in the lives of great Bible characters in desert places, but also real stories of life-changing experiences in desert places in present-day Christianity. You will enjoy the book in Desert Places by Dr. Paul Chappell. It's available at strivingtogether.com. We love to hear from our listeners at Daily in the Word. You can contact us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. We would love to get a letter from you. You can mail your letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Don't forget, there's still time to register for the Alaska cruise this coming August, just a couple of months away. We are taking an enjoyable, a wonderful ministry cruise to Alaska. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information at dailyintheword.org. Again, thanks for being a part of today's program, and until next time, have a great day. Thank you.